come.
Good, we have an idea.
You do?
Okay. Would you like something to eat? You look like you're starving.
Oh, no. No food.
No?
I starved.
Okay, all
right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Navorsky, I have some very, very good news for you.
What?
I think that I figured out a way to get you out of this airport.
Huh.
Well, we have laws here that protect aliens who have a credible fear of returning to their own country. If we can establish this fear with you, then the CBP will be forced to begin expedited removal procedures, bring you to an immigration judge, and let you plead your case for asylum.
Asylum?
Mm-hmm. Asylum. Unfortunately, the courts are so backed up with asylum cases that the soonest you get before a judge would probably be 6 months from now.
Yes, and we would have no choice but to let you go for those 6 months. It's the law. You'd be released.
Right. You would be free to wait in New York until your court date. But believe it or not, most people, they never show up before the judge.
So I go New York City?
Uh-huh. You can go to New York City tonight. But you only get to go if we can establish a credible fear.
Fear?
Mm-hmm. Fear.
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 From what?
Well, that's the best part. It doesn't really matter what you're afraid of. It's all the same to Uncle Sam. Okay? So I'm going to ask you one question, Victor, and it's a simple question. And if you give me the correct answer, I can get you out of this airport tonight.
So I answer one question.
Mm-hmm.
Go to New York City tonight.
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 Tonight. Okay.
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 Okay. All right. Do you, at this time, have any fear of returning to your own country?
No.
Okay. Let me try it again. Your country's at war, Victor.
Yes, yes, at okay. war.
There are men in the streets with guns. Political persecution.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible, it's horrible. And God only knows what could happen, right? Yes. Innocent people are torn from their beds and thrown into jail.
Yeah, on Tuesday.
Right?
On Tuesday.
Yeah,
it's, I hit Tuesday.
Yeah, it's hard. So you're afraid.
From what?
Krakosian. You're afraid of Krakosian.
Krakosian?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not afraid from Krakosian. I'm a little afraid of this room.
Okay. I'm talking about bombs. I'm talking about human dignity. I'm talking about human rights. Victor, please don't be afraid to tell me that you're afraid of Krakosian.
His home. I'm not afraid from my home. So? I go to New York City now? No.
Okay.
I'm afraid
okay.
from ghosts.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Afraid
thanks very
from
much.
Dracula.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Victor. Thanks
Wolfman,
a lot.
We'll see
you
again.
Okay.
Afraid from
thank you, Victor.
Sharks.
Thanks a lot.
Sledgehammer? That was so retarded!
Where are you coming from?
Did you guys just come from our apartment?
No, ma'am. No, we're coming from our friends up on the top floor.
Yeah. Yeah.
That floor is unoccupied.
If there is any damage to our apartment, I promise you, I will not hesitate to call the police.
No, we were just passing through, I promise. Yeah,
yep.
Upstairs.
Where are you coming from?
Our friend's apartment on the top floor.
But it is unoccupied.
Yeah, but we were helping him move in. We're all we're movers.
What are their names?
Who?
The people that just moved in.
Fakedon.
Fakedon?
Tim Fakedon.
Tim Fakedon.
So there haven't been any pie fights up there, because I keep finding these pie remnants all the time. You know how long it takes us to get pie out of a rug?
Forever,
and it's expensive.
Guys,
have you seen any sort of desserts at all today?
No, baby.
Yeah, it's nothing.
Not at all.
But did you hear the word sledgehammer?
I'm afraid I did.
Yeah,
I heard the word sledgehammer. What is that
so,
about?
So, yeah, what is that?
Smashing TVs, sledgehammers.
Because this has happened before.
Absolutely.
It's happened before. Let's not pretend it hasn't. We know it's happened before. So?
I didn't hear anything. Did you say sledgehammer?
Did you say sledgehammer?
I might have been talking about a sledgehammer earlier.
But not in any smashing context.
Not in a smashing context at all.
No.
Just in how it's a very useful tool of the century.
I mean, where would you even get a sledgehammer? Where does one find a sledgehammer? At this hour.
That's the question. Yeah. Where would you even get one?
We bring sledgehammers. We didn't bring any tools here.
Would you bring a sledgehammer into your own house?
Would you throw pies in your own house?
I don't think so.
Would you do that?
I think we can agree we're all on the same team here, and that's the no pie, no sledgehammer team.
Yeah.
That's where we're standing.
I don't even understand what that means.
Well,
I don't know what you're saying.
Medications and their side effects. Funny word, and it's funny to think that you could shove something up your ass and it will make you feel better. Sorry, gay people. Big needles aren't funny, but the threat of a big needle filled with anything often will cause comedic fainting. How you could try this at home. First, find some drugs and take too many of them. It's best to do this in front of other people who have promised you that they will take notes for you on how funny you react to the drugs and save you from dying if need be. Let us know how your hilarious overdose works out.
Could be good for a foreign minister.
All right, number two, take.
Not so large, but it could no longer be the other.
Why?
The greatest danger a journalist seems to face is being sued or just having somebody spit in your eye.
Thank you.
indulge me at the age of 80 in some curmudgeonly ruminations about the journalistic craft that I have loved not always wisely, but well. First, let me know how lucky we are to be journalists in America. I think Sarah mentioned that. The Committee to Protect Journalists has reported today that in 24 countries around the world, 185 journalists were imprisoned at the end of 96, the largest number in Turkey, followed by Ethiopia, China, and Kuwait. And 27 journalists were killed in the line of duty, all but one of them murdered or in combat, six in Chechnya alone. Only one American journalist died, and that by accident. Nathaniel Nash of the New York Times, who was on the Air Force plane with Secretary Ron Brown, that crashed into a mountain. At home, the greatest danger a journalist seems to face is being sued or just having somebody spit in your eye. We are in trouble. It is the natural order of things that we be in trouble with the powerful whom we try to monitor. But today, alas, we are in trouble with the powerless who identify us more with the powerful than with them. People are simply no longer willing to forgive us our trespasses. Press bashing has become a growth industry in this country, joined in by some of colleagues of the press. James Fallows, the editor of U.S. News and World Report, has a book out accusing us of undermining American democracy for fun and for profit. Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post says that we've become our own worst enemy. Ellen Hume, whom I still consider a journalist, although she doesn't work daily as such, says that American life is in trouble, and journalists who could help are doing more harm than doing good. What is a journalist today, anyway? What do we talk about when we talk about a journalist? A blow-dried television personality who's been trained to read a teleprompter? Or a talk show host spreading hate and conspiracy? A George Stephanopoulos who's gone through the revolving door to be paid by ABC for saying the things he used to say on the White House payroll? Pat Buchanan, who keeps body and hope alive between campaigns for president by selling celebrityhood on CNN? You know, I think of these Pat Buchanans and these people who go back and forth from public life to journalism, and I think of Ed Morrow, who was invited in his declining days at CBS to run for senator in the state of New York. And he was tempted to do so. He actually thought about doing so, he told me, until he concluded that if he did, he would confuse his audience out there, who would be left to wonder whether the commentaries he had done all that time were colored by his future political plans. So he decided not to do it. How many television stars today, between their entertaining appearances on TV and their lucrative personal appearances on lecture dates, how many of them think of any obligation to the people out there, whom they generally call not the people out there, but the market? You would surely not expect me to speak more than 3 minutes without mentioning the name of Richard Nixon. Well, especially since the 25th anniversary of the Watergate break-in is coming up this June. Well, February 23rd, 1973, speaking to John Dean, his words preserved for posterity on that wonderful tape that he had, Nixon said, "Well, one hell of a lot of people don't give one damn about the issue of the suppression of the press, etc." That's his etc., not mine. Another segment of the same tape, incidentally, he referred to me as that son of a bitch, but let me not digress. Nixon was a good reader, actually, of the popular mood of the time. He sent out Vice President Spiro Agnew to make a speech denouncing the nattering nabobs of negativism. That phrase was written for him by Bill Sapphire, actually. But the speech called down on the networks thousands upon thousands of telegrams and letters and phone calls agreeing with what Agnew had to say and agreeing that the press had gotten too big for its pants. And that was then. Since then, anti-media sentiment has grown by leaps and by bounds. The recent Roper Freedom Forum parade, these polls must get very expensive. You have to have three sponsors to have one poll. But in a recent Roper Freedom Forum parade poll, fewer than 20% of respondents rated the ethics of journalists as high.
More alarming, 65% of respondents said there are times when publication or broadcast should be prevented. Prevented? Is that, are we talking about prior restraint? Are we talking about the heart of the First Amendment? Did we win that war over the Pentagon Papers case in the Supreme Court only now to lose it in the court of public opinion? That may be happening. It's a serious matter. You know, the practice, the whole practice of journalism, we don't think of this very often, but the whole practice of journalism depends on something called privilege. I don't mean the privilege of the rich, but privilege in a legal sense. Privilege is a special protection that society will grant to some group of people because they serve society's purpose. So we all have privilege against self-incrimination, Fifth Amendment. Doctors, lawyers, clergy have special privilege to be able to maintain their confidentiality, not have to testify if somebody wants them to testify about the intimate relations that they have with sources. And First Amendment privilege, we have a thing called First Amendment privilege. It's in the First Amendment, and it is the only privilege in our Constitution designed to protect a single American industry. So it has to be very important. But the privilege that's accorded to the press depends on public support, and it will wither without public support. And I think today it is withering. The public today senses an abuse of privilege for profit and for self-aggrandizement when they read that a Richard Jewell is falsely accused as a prime suspect in the Atlanta bombing case, or when a Los Angeles television person falsely reports DNA findings in the O.J. Simpson case before those findings have actually been reached, or when a Dallas newspaper reports a purported confession in the Oklahoma City bombing, which may have been a hoax. The jury is still out on that, apparently. In all these cases, though, the news organizations say they rely on confidential sources. And then they claim First Amendment protection against having to reveal who those sources are. But when a news organization relies on sources it cannot name, then it makes itself responsible for the accuracy of the story. And so you'd better think twice about how good your sources are if they're confidential. And I say this as one who's occasionally been burned myself on issues of sources.
News today, wherever men will believe. In addition to his great mass evangelism crusades, Reverend Osborne is publishing tracts and books. Also, he produces miracle films and sermon recordings like this one. The results are thrilling. Everywhere these messages are heard, souls are being saved and sick bodies are being healed.
The Washington Post style book says you should always assume that information provided by confidential sources is weaker than information which can be attributed to real people. Well, not necessarily, you know. A lot of real people, real sources, dissimulate and they lie. And a lot of confidential sources, whistleblowers and others, find it necessary, while telling the truth, find it necessary to be protected. But you have to check your information. This is an internal house dispute in the Washington Post going on over this. Bob Kaiser has an op-ed page piece today responding to Geneva Oberholzer, who wrote a piece in the Washington Post as ombudsperson, raising some questions about Bob Woodard's report on the money going from China, perhaps going to China, and what is going on in the campaign funding scandal. Story, by the way, a pretty good story in the sense that if it used confidential sources, no one has challenged any detail of the story. That's a good one. That's when you come out ahead. But you don't always check your information. Remember that when your confidential source has manipulated you, you don't get to justify yourself by saying that you were had by somebody whom you cannot name. My real concern is about people out there, the people whom we profess to serve, about the ordinary people and the workings of justice. I am much more worried about the Richard Jewels than I am about the secrets that the government tries to keep. When it comes to government and its millions of pages of mildly overclassified materials, I have no doubt that this nation has, on the whole, suffered a lot more from undue secrecy than from undue disclosure. Senator Pat Moynihan has been the head of a committee which has studied the secrecy problem, has come out with a report suggesting that the maintenance of secrecy, when it's not necessary, is really a form of government regulation, which is an interesting thought. Government, though, takes good care of itself, but protecting the ordinary citizen from defamation, from invasion of privacy, that's our responsibility now, and the public will judge us by how we carry out that responsibility. I join in the general dismay of the whole journalistic community about the judgment against ABC for methods used in its investigation of tainted food in that Food Lion store. ABC was simply using modern video techniques to do what Upton Sinclair did around the turn of a century when he alone penetrated a meatpacking plant in Chicago and exposed what went on there. That expose led to the creation of the Food and Drug Administration. And so why was Sinclair applauded while ABC was slapped with a penalty of $5.5 million, which perhaps coincidentally, I'm told, is about what Diane Sawyer earns in a year. Perhaps coincidentally. But given the presence of a star who was not really a part of the investigation, given the concentration on video techniques and entertainment values in the remorseless quest for ratings, people can be forgiven if they no longer accept us as dedicated solely to the public weal, even when they perform a public service, as happened in that case. So where are we now? Let me go back for a moment to the Roper report. 82% of respondents think reporters are insensitive to people's pain when covering disasters. And 64% think that the news is too sensationalized. And 63% think that the news is manipulated by special interests. And 60% think reporters too often quote confidential sources. Well, I guess we have nowhere to go from here but up. And to put in a couple of curmudgeonly trail markers for people on their way up, young TV reporters, do not poke a microphone in the face of a person on a stretcher and ask, tell me how it felt when the plane came down.